Well, Michael Jr., do I have to always say Jr., or can halfway through this interview I start calling you Michael? What's the story? Is there a rule for
depends
that?
Depends on how it goes.
All right.
You'll know.
We'll stay with Michael Jr. right now. We are backstage.
Actually, for audio purposes, I'm MichaelJr.com. That's what you really should.
I like that. MichaelJr.com. In fact, hilarious. That's what I'm going to refer to you as.
Yeah, all right. That's weird.
You like that? So we're backstage at Catalyst Dallas.
We are.
The theme of this event is Take Courage. And obviously, you're known, I think, for two awesome things. Obviously, being very funny. And then you have an enormous heart with what you've done in prison ministry with kids and things like that. But let's set up courage and fear. Because fear affects all of us, whether we're a stand-up comedian, a school teacher, a high schooler.
It does.
And fear, big time, man, for stand-up comedians early on in your career.
Late on, too. You still get scared.
Well, talk about stepping into that. How do you manage it?
Well, I don't really get super scared anymore. I've made an adjustment in my comedy because if any comedian was really honest with you, he'll let you know that the reason he's on stage is because he's, you know, something's missing in his life, like literally something's missing. And then they're trying to fill it, whether they know it or not. So once I came to the understanding that instead of me trying to get laughs from people to supplement, you know, something that wasn't in my life, to giving people an opportunity to laugh, it changed everything, because now I'm not in a position where I need. I'm in a position where I can give, and it really helped with the fear a whole bunch. So now it's yo, I have a gift for you. Would you like to accept this gift? And then when they laugh, they do, and then the fear just subsided quite a bit after that. It was really cool.
I want to go back to what you said. You were very certain about it, and I have every reason to believe that you're right. Why just comedians, or is there a personality type that you're referring to that has something clearly missing, and that's why they gravitate to comedy? Or is that true?
Well, yeah,
actors?
It's true to probably anybody, because a lot of times, and this is where I've really learned, comedy can be like a shield. It's easy to hide behind funny. Like, really, like as soon as something gets a little as soon as there's a little bit of tension, people have a tendency to crack a joke, then it relieves the tension. But sometimes that tension is good, because it'll take you someplace that you really need to be to deal with something you really need to deal with. So I've learned that, you know, comedy is cool, but I also allow for those moments of realness to come in. And then when it's appropriate, we'll break it loose with the comedy. Because this is a big thing I learned within the last month. I've always known that comedy opens up a person's heart. But God has really put it on my heart. He was like, yo, if you're opening up hearts, why don't you put something in there? Mm. Just open it up. If you open the refrigerator, you don't just close it back. You're hungry. Get something, you know, so do something. So yeah. It's and that even helps with the fear.
Right.
The fear goes down then, because now I'm looking for an opportunity to be a blessing as opposed to trying to get something out of
That's good.
Somebody. So.
What was your path to becoming a stand-up?
Normally it's a stage, and then when you walk off the stage, there's like a little, you go to the middle.
That's right. Very simple question and very good answer.
Yeah.
How did you get into comedy?
Oh, how did I get into it? I was actually at a movie theater when I was 17 years old in Grand Rapids, Michigan, my hometown, and in the middle of the movie, the screen went blank, like in the middle. And a few years earlier, me and a friend had made a pact that I wouldn't curse anymore. That neither one of us could curse. If he heard me curse, he'd hit me in the chest and vice versa, right? And the dude could hit hard, so I stopped cursing immediately, right? I ain't know nothing about God. So then we decided, okay, we're going to do this. So we're at this movie theater, and the screen goes blank in the middle of the film. And this has never happened before. It hasn't happened since. The screen goes blank, and my friend, a German exchange student, says, I dare you go tell a joke, right? That's the best German I got, dude. Whatever.
Well, anyway, you know, I was with you.
Okay. Anyway, so at the time, you're like 17, 18 years old. Somebody dare you to do something, you're going to do it. It don't matter. You're just going to do it. So I went up there, and the only joke I could remember at the time was a dirty joke. But I don't curse anymore. So I got roughly 12 seconds to take this dirty joke and clean it up before I get to the front of the audience. I clean this joke up. I tell the audience, the whole place laughs. And then I go sit back down, and I feel a high for the first time in my life. I've never done any drugs, but I felt this sensation that I cannot describe. I go sit back down, and security comes looking for me to kick me out. They're like, yo, we, you know, and then this white lady who I didn't even know stands up and says, if you kick them out, we want our money back. I didn't even know her. Then these biker dudes with long hair and tattoo, they stood up, and then black people stood up. And now these people gave me all of this love just because I gave them a little part of me. And in retrospect, I can clearly see it was God saying, yo, I got something for you to do.
Absolutely.
So it's really cool. That's really was the start of it all right there.
That's where you really felt affirmed and you knew, hey, I like this.
Yeah, and then I went and got a job at a gas station after that. But yeah.
Right. You know, well, not such an inspiring move, but at least you knew.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your comic, I can't talk, maybe it's because of the pressure that Michael Jr. at any moment could take something you say and twist it against you.
I see some stuff going on.
So the fear right now is huge.
I see some stuff going on with your hair.
That's right. That's right. You can't do this because you don't have this kind of hair. Don't be jealous.
Yeah. What do you mean this kind of hair? What is that about? You hear what he said? Your people don't have this kind of hair, so you can't. That was weird.
Oh, wow.
That's really weird when you said that.
Is it really awkward?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's okay if it's okay with you, okay?
I'm actually cool with it. Comic influences.
Yeah, catch those.
Guys, gals that had influence on you early on with your...
Oh, my favorite comedians, I'll tell you right now. My number one favorite comedian is, well, I'm going to go with Michael Jr. Because he gives me money. But nobody else does that. And I really like Ellen DeGeneres. And I think Martin Lawrence is hilarious, as well as Bill Cosby is really funny as
well. The Master.
Oh, yeah. You say something about Master just now? This is really getting strange. Just randomly out of nowhere? Okay. No. Bill Cosby's amazing. Phenomenal. Comedy equity built up. He's really cool. But go ahead, man. I'm not going to call you Master, but go ahead.
No, so what about those comedians? You ripped off some great names there.
Yeah.
So what about...
When you say I ripped them off, you think I'm stealing jokes or something?
No, I do not.
I ripped off some great names. Like I was taking people's comedy.
Did say that, but that's not what I meant.
Okay, well, I'm just clarifying.
Yeah, I know. And I
you know, if somebody takes this interview and splices it right there, like, you just ripped off Bill Cosby, or how do you feel about that? Then I say something like, well, you know, I love him.
Yeah.
And then people are like, yo, Michael Jr. rips off people he loves.
All right, well, yeah, it's a great
really
point.
Really weird very fast.
That's right. So let me try to.
So I'm like a fallen comedian at that point. You know Michael Jr. fell.
This is
fun. He was doing his own jokes, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah, you're right. So as awkward as this is, I must now restate the question.
Cool. Why you got afros on the microphones, too?
What I'm not
is that about?
Sure.
Did you do that for everybody?
I think it makes it sound better.
Okay.
But I'm not sure, though.
It's just afros. I didn't know if you did that because I was coming in, or if you just...
Now, afros. I haven't heard that word in many years. So
this is an afro on the mic right now. Okay. When you touch it, this is what it sounds like. It's a little afro on the microphone.
So I will try to restate the question. You listed a few comedians that have influenced you greatly. I'm just curious. What about their styles or their humor do you enjoy or that you somewhat emulated?
Well, you know what's really interesting? I remember listening to Eddie Murphy as a child, and the thing that I loved most about Eddie Murphy wasn't so much what he was saying, but it was the atmosphere he created in our home when we listened to the album. Our whole house was just calm, and everybody was laughing together, and it was really pretty phenomenal. And I knew in my heart that was something I wanted to do, even though I couldn't articulate it. I didn't know you could get paid for it. I had no idea. But I know I never wanted to be goofy. That was big, too. I didn't want to be goofy. I don't want to be wacky. I didn't want to be any of those things. But I did want to help create that peace that people had when they laugh. And then when I started doing comedy, even before I started doing comedy, I never really watched other comedians. And I never understood why. Like, it wasn't even, I know this is going to be weird for a lot of people, but it never even was attractive to me to watch comedy. But now I know in retrospect, it was also God saying, I want you to have your own style. I want you to create your own thing. And had I watched those guys early on, I know like I know the influences, they would have crept up without me even knowing it. I would have been like another whoever. But as opposed to that, now I have my own style. And now I love watching those guys because I can see them and really appreciate what they're doing in comparison to what I'm doing.
I love watching interviews with comedians. And I enjoy this because you use comedy to spread great messages. Some don't. You actually platform yourself so well and do some amazing things that we'll talk about in a minute. But I'm always curious to ask a comedian, observation is everything with you. And so...
Sorry, what'd you say?
Observation.
Say it again.
Observation.
Oh, okay. I'm paying attention. I got you.
All right. So your comedy, does it come out of experience in life, or is it just like Chris Rock? I've seen him say recently on Oprah, I just pay attention, and whatever I see, if I think it's funny, then how do you build your material?
Well, I just look around. It's literally what I do. In fact, today I'll talk about it a little bit. The other day, I have a baby. I got a new baby.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's how they come, is new.
That's right. How old?
14 months now. She's 14 months.
Little girl?
Yes.
What's her name?
Portland Trinity.
Oh, that's great.
She's amazing, right?
But first I noticed, child, right?
No, I got five, dude. Thanks for...
You have five? Yeah, I don't have any production notes in front of me.
Thanks for listening to my comedy and stuff. I talk about them all the time. It's awesome. Anyway, yeah, I got five of them. So we just got a new one.
Okay.
And one of the things I notice is women will approach me when I'm with my daughter, and they'll get all excited. Look at the baby. She's so cute, the baby. She's big cheeks. She's all pretty. Always. They always, like... But men don't... Like, the only thing we find really cute is, like, other women. But you can't do that. You can't walk up to other women Like, ooh, she's so cute. Look at her. Ooh, I could just squeeze her little cheek. She's so cute. You want to go home with me? Was that weird for you? Why you look around just now? Anyway, so observation for sure. So I'll see something. This is what happened. When I was a child, it was really hard for me to read. And I may talk about that today. I'm not sure. But what would happen is if I would see a word and I couldn't make out what it was, I created a different way to look at the word to figure out what it meant, whether how people responded to it, what colors were around it. I always figured out something different. So I came up with 7 different ways to look at any word to come up with what it means. But now I also have this ability to look at any one situation 7 different ways. So you might look at a situation, know what it is, and move on. I'm still looking at it, and I got 7 different ways to look at it, which is exactly where I draw my comedy from.
Wow.
So I do look. Some of it is situations. Some of it is things that have never happened before, but I'm just asking myself, well, what if this was the case?
Huh.
So it started out as a handicap, not being able to read, but what in low self-esteem, which is all the devil, and then God took what was meant for bad and just really turned it into good.
Wow.
And that's where I pull my comedy from.
Man, so. That's great.
Yeah, it's really cool. In fact, that's why we did a video. I just did a video. I released it online. It's called Michael Jr.'s BlackBerry. And what I did was it's a video of me suing the makers of BlackBerry because they stole my idea. And standing next to me is my assistant, who's a black dude named Barry. And my BlackBerry does everything their BlackBerry does. So
I think you got a strong case. No chance that gets thrown out.
That's
big dollars
saying.
Coming your way
Some
soon.
Some big money.
Absolutely.
My BlackBerry does it all.
I love it. You've performed at Catalyst many times. You're going to be on stage here in just moments. What I love about what you do is you entertain and you make us laugh and you open our hearts, but you actually have a real purpose behind what you're doing for our podcast audience that may not know about Michael Jr. Share just a bit about what you're doing with the documentary that obviously has already been out. But what's happening? What are you dreaming about for your comedy to platform you to do?
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, I realized that comedy is it's bigger than just jokes. It's really about the folks. I'm opening up hearts, but I need to put something in there too. So I'm learning that my audiences, when they come out to see me, they're ready to, I mean, they're open to doing some bigger things. So one of the things we did was we did the documentary, Comedy, The Road Less Traveled, and where we, where I went to homeless shelters and people with HIV and abused children, and we did some comedy for them. And we got to, first we heard their stories, and they told us basically why they couldn't laugh, and then we get to see them break through the laughter, which is powerful. And we've done a lot more of those events as well, just going to places where they don't get to laugh. And that's me really putting myself on the line. You talk about fear. I had a guy say to me, Michael, I've been homeless for 7 years. I was on crack cocaine for 5 years. I'm beaten, stabbed, and left for dead. I could really use a laugh. I got some real fear behind that statement, and to seeing this guy in the front row. But then to see him break through, the same guy in the film has to use his left hand to keep himself from falling out of the chair in laughter.
Oh, that's great.
That's like a huge, like that's one homeless guy laughing or barely smiling is like a room full of people with homes giving a standing ovation. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I know what this guy's been through.
Mm.
But the truth is there's someone like that in every audience or on some level who's really dealing with some big things. Mm. And to now know that I brought laughter to him is huge. So now my show is actually going to be transforming just from just jokes to really motivating people to do something more and even challenging them and giving them the opportunity right there on the spot to do it. So it's some really cool big stuff going on. So.
Well, we love what you do. We love your heart. So before we let you go, let's plug the website.
Yes.
Plug any albums you've got, anything new, what's happening?
Did you say album?
Well, I say album. It's record, I guess. Comedy record, comedy album.
A record?
Well, you know, they still say that at the
at your
award
household?
Shows. Best
household?
Album?
Oh, okay.
No, the Grammys actually say album of the year, so I figure I can get away with it.
No, you can't.
Because
we're doing a podcast, you're talking about albums. Because they can't. This is a podcast, dude. You're going to shove an album in your iPod? I don't.
Excuse me, CD. Any project. I'm trying to sell your stuff.
CD.
Right now.
So you're up to 1993.
That's right.
Awesome.
I cannot win here. We have MP3s on there.
There you go.
All right.
You're close. You get
all right. It took a minute, folks. It took a minute.
Yeah. It's awesome they got you doing this. Awesome.
I know. Well, low budget. Low budget, man. Low budget.
Budget. All right. So I got some cool stuff going on. You can find out a lot about it on Twitter, which is Michael JR Comedy on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah.
So you can check that out. And then, of course, I'm on Facebook. You can become Michael Jr. fans and the website. Right now, you can go to michaeljr.com and you can see the BlackBerry video that we just made. Spent a lot of money on the video. It looks good. But go to michaeljr.com or it's on YouTube and check and put in Michael Jr.'s BlackBerry. And then you'll laugh for hopefully 2 minutes. It's really cool, man. So, yeah.
Well, we really do love what you do. And
are you about, to end the interview? Is that
I
what
am.
That is?
And I'm about ready
I can
to,
tell by the tone.
Yeah. Well, you can tell. Yeah. I'm about ready to apologize that you had to sit through this. Our audience is grateful. For you putting up with me and sharing.
No, you were good. Like, for real.
Oh,
you are.
You're very kind. But
Steve's the best. I just want everybody to know
Steve.
That.
Steve. Yeah. Yes. For Michael Jr., for everyone at Catalyst, I'm Steve Coleman. From now and forever on. Hey, man, for real. Thanks for coming by.
No, for real,
Have
man.
Have fun out there, man.
Good stuff, man. Absolutely.